This is Real Estate Journeys, episode 106.
For those of you that are listening right now and don't have any property management experience, don't have any Airbnb experience, don't have any, even any real estate experience, your best thing to do is come up with a game plan, be professional about it, learn your numbers, know exactly what you're going to make, and you're going to be able to cover your costs, and you show that to a potential landlord, and now suddenly you've got their trust because they came as a personal referral. You know them personally. Oh, by the way, here's my business plan. Lay it out for them. And those are my two things. Just the big takeaway there, I think, Matthew, is just being able to know your numbers and get a personal referral to a landlord.
Welcome to Real Estate Journeys, here to help you build your cash-flowing real estate empire that you've been dreaming of. This is about real estate investors who have escaped the soul-crushing 9-to-5 rat race by taking action, leveraging relationships, and gaining the financial independence. It's time to stop making excuses and get the insight and knowledge you need to become a successful real estate investor. This is your host, Matthew Baltzell.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, aka Matthew Baltzell. Welcome back to Real Estate Journeys, the exclusive podcast for real estate investors looking to scale to 100 units and live that location-independent lifestyle. Hey guys, I'm excited for today's episode because we're going to cover some very interesting topics here. Today's guest, his name is Kyle Stanley. He is an Airbnb expert and also a flipper as well. For those of you that don't know, I originally started out in real estate doing single family housing, and my mother and I, we had 10 single family houses back in 2008 in our portfolio, and we were overextended and we had to liquidate and basically get rid of all of our properties. Bad timing. So we weren't quite pros ourselves, but you know, I wanted to bring you on, Kyle. First off, welcome to the show, Kyle. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on, Matthew. I'm excited to be on.
Just getting a little ahead of myself. So Kyle, I wanted to bring you on. First off, let's jump into it. How did you get started in real estate? I know you said offline that you've only done 7 flips thus far. So where did you really start, you know, biting your teeth into getting started into real estate?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I had always known about real estate, but it never really clicked with me. Mm-hmm. And then when I was like 26 years old, I heard about this term passive income, which it's crazy to me today too, Matthew. Like, I don't know about you, but there's so many people that are my age or older that don't even understand what passive income is, have heard the term, don't know what it is. But I felt like I had been robbed of something at the age of 26 by not knowing what that was. And when I found out about that, it was in the form of a multi-level marketing company, which if you've ever been in one, you know, if it sounds like passive income, but you really do have to work hard at that for that to build. And so like I tried that for 4 years and I just got to that point where I was like, this is not true passive income, at least not the way that I was being taught to build it. And so I was like, what really is true passive income? And that's when I started looking into real estate and I started listening to, you know, Grant Cardone, the Cardone Zone, and he starts talking about, you know, his fund. And so I had a little bit of cash. I decided to get into that Cardone Capital stuff. I have a few videos on that now today where I've talked about why I wish I would have used that money somewhere else.
You're famous online.
Oh, I would not go that far, but it's funny because that really like kind of got me into like, wow, you know, if I can make this amount of money passively without doing anything, what could I do if I actually taught myself how to do it and educated myself? And so I went to a seminar January 4th through the 6th of 2019. I remember it very vividly because it was a big decision day in my life where I was a Fortune Builders event. If you have ever heard of them, you know, they teach flipping, wholesaling, the whole gamut of active real estate. And it just spoke to me, you know, the networking, the raising money, the building a team, and just the systematic approach to it. I love systems. And I was like, this just makes sense for me. I know that's kind of boring, but it really did. Like, it gets me excited because I really saw an opportunity to be able to build something bigger with my skills that I already had to really paint a future for myself.
That's awesome. So you said January of 2019, is that correct?
Yep, that is correct.
Love it. And so you went to this conference. You got jazzed up, you felt the fire. You know, a lot of people, when they go to a conference, they feel energized and passionate for maybe a week, two, a month. So how did you take that fire and transport it into, you know, getting into an Airbnb? How did you go about finding that? Because I know a lot of times people, they're reading all these books, they have the analysis by paralysis. Like, how did you go about taking the action to go start implementing your Airbnb strategy?
Yeah, well, $30,000. That's why.
I love it. Got the cash money.
I mean, when you drop that amount of money on education and a dedicated approach to something, you're in. Uh-huh. And just so you know, I really hadn't even established that Airbnb was going to be the thing. That was what really established me for flipping. I had been doing Airbnb since 2015, just as a room out of my house, but I really wasn't doing it at the level that I am today. But that kind of opened the door for me to start looking at what I was doing with Airbnb and being like, hey, house hacking, that's actually a thing. That I've kind of been doing real estate, I guess, since 2015. Didn't really even know that. But skin in the game is a real thing, especially when you drop a sizable amount of cash that makes your bank account now look very depressed. Yeah. So I said yes on January 16th. I had my first deal under contract February 15th. And we were flipping that thing around by, I think we sold it like May 1st or something like that. Everything was done. So it was just really cool. Like that first dip into doing your first deal, it didn't pay me much. It only paid me $6,000. It was a real like small, safe deal. I knew I wasn't going to lose money on it, but it was going to teach me everything I needed to know. And I mean, you can read every book, you can go to every seminar, you can watch everything on YouTube, listen to any podcast, but until you actually do it and have that resource or that person right there next to you showing you where to take it from A to Z, it really doesn't click until you do it. And so I was definitely blessed to get my feet dirty early and hands dirty, I should say. But it was awesome, man. I needed to earn that money back. That was really the motivator.
Yeah. So let me ask you, so how did you, you know, if it's your first deal and how did you know it was a safe deal and you weren't going to lose your money? Can you tell me a little bit more about that first deal?
Yeah, it was a condo. So I knew that like all of the big ticket items were going to be okay. The plumbing, the roof, the electrical, all that stuff was pretty much like secured by the HOA. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a whole lot of issues or looming issues like that. And, you know, I thought I was going to make 10 grand. I did the numbers and I ended up making six because we sold it for about 3,000 less than what I thought I was going to. And we spent about 1,000 more on the rehab than what I thought. So, but we had solid comps in the area. We had the budget that we needed for our contractor, like all these things aligned where I was like, yeah, I mean, this is probably gonna be the only time I really do a deal like this. And I wouldn't do a deal like that again, but I did it then because I was like, if I don't make a single dollar with this, at least it gives me the confidence and the knowledge to know, okay, here's the things that I learned from this and here's what I can do moving forward. And that's exactly what it did. And it showed everyone that I was serious too. You know, I've done a lot of things in my career. I've done a lot of different types of businesses. And so when people see me jump into something, you know, they're always kind of like, oh, is he really going to follow through? And I did. And when I did that, then people were like, hey, if you need money for your next flip, let me know. And it helped me to start raising some money too, just by sharing it with the world.
For sure. For sure. And where was this first flip? Where was the condo?
In Fresno, California, where I live.
Fresno. Okay. And so moving forward, if people are hearing this for the first time and they're thinking about, you know, they want to do a safe condo or they want to do a safe flip, what are you looking for when you're going to try and do a flip?
Yeah, well, I think timing's everything too right now. Don Costa talked about this recently and he said, if you are just trying to get into flipping right now, it's probably not the time because you make one small mistake right now. And if the market crashes, if the market corrects itself, you can be in deep dog crap. And so for me right now, what I look for is I'm really looking for more meat on the bones. I'm looking for the safe deal, which doesn't mean only making 10,000. It means, hey, safe is now, hey, we think we might make $40,000 on this. And oh, by the way, if the market corrects itself 10%, well, we've only lost, let's call it $20,000. We still make $20,000. So that's what I mean by safe today is it's just got way more meat on the bones. And you know, I've just learned a lot through doing it. Like I said, I mean, I just can't reiterate that enough is that whether it's Airbnb or flipping, when you do a deal and you see what you thought it was going to cost, but then the contractor comes in and tells you exactly what it's going to cost, you put that in the back of your brain, and now you see that the next time and you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going to make that mistake again because my contractor corrected me on that. Or now I don't see a utilities box in the back. I know that that's a 3-month process with the city. I know it's $1,000. These things that you start to learn, you just realize like I can almost get into a property now and know how quickly I can turn it around. And it only took really a few. We actually did a 10-day flip at the beginning of this year because when I walked in, I was like, all right, I know I can bring this guy in for this and this guy in for this. And I love puzzles, and that's really what, like, to me, business is, not just flipping, but business altogether. Mm-hmm. It's putting those puzzle pieces into place to where you know when you can finish that puzzle, how long it's going to take you, how much time, how much money, how much resources. And it just comes from actually doing it. You're not going to be able to do a 1,000-piece puzzle if all you've ever done is the little play ones when you were a kid that are like 5 or 6 pieces. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. No. Yeah, I love that. I love it. I saw on your Instagram, your most recent, I don't know if it's your most recent, but the one with the trailers in the back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're in the middle of that one right now.
That's a lot of meat on the bones right there, right?
It is. It is. Conservatively, you know, I'll just talk about those numbers. So the way that I got that deal is, again, just talking about it. I've got a podcast, I've got a YouTube channel, but I also have a personal Facebook page where I share a lot of stuff and I just share and share and share about what I'm doing. And we were over at a family friend's house during, don't tell anyone, but it was during COVID. And we were having dinner and this guy goes, hey, I've got a coworker. It probably won't work out, but you know, their father-in-law is not doing very well and they need to sell his house. And I was like, well, you know, how much do they need to get? And he's like, she was telling me like $145,000, but there's just so much junk in the house. Well, we pulled it up. We started looking at comps. I'm like, hey, this thing's worth at least like $245,000, $250,000. That sounds pretty good. So we went over and looked. I evaluated the rehab would be between $40,000 to $45,000. A contractor came in, was basically right on the dot with that. And so after all the real estate fees and closing costs and everything, I should come out with this guy splitting $46,000. So the buying cost was $145,000. The ARV is, which is after repair value, is $245,000 to $255,000, maybe when this is all done, because the market's hot, maybe even $259,000 right now. And the rehab cost is we're going to be about $45,000 to $47,000 in. So after it's all said and done, that is a very safe deal. It's got a lot of meat on the bones and, you know, we'll see what happens. That's the great thing is that, you know, there's trailers, there's campers in the back. I was told in the beginning, like, oh, a tow truck company can come out and get it for free. That wasn't true. So now we're having to pay some money to do that.
But when there's so much meat to sell the property.
Yeah, exactly. But when there's so much meat on the bones, that's one of the things. And that's become a motto of mine, just being in real estate, is that everything is fixable. And if it's not, then it's not worth your energy. And so, you know, a lot of people would come in and see all this junk and think like, oh yeah, this deal seems worth it, but I have no idea how I'm going to get all this stuff out. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get all that stuff out either, but I do know that I have a lot of resources. I've built up great relationships. I can make calls. I can network. I can figure out what I'm going to do with all this stuff. And that's what we're doing right now. We're just figuring it out.
Mm. I'd love to see where you're at in 2 years from now. You know, it's been about what, a year and a half since you've gone to the convention. So that's very cool. I'd love to see your progress. So now let's transition a little to Airbnb. So you said that, you know, you've been doing very well with Airbnb. You started out a little bit of a house hack, whatnot, and kind of now you're up and running. So how are you going about running your Airbnb business? What markets are you looking in and how are you kind of going about running it?
Yeah, I just had a conversation with a potential student about an hour ago about this. You know, he called me up and he was like, hey, I'm looking at Bali. Like, I live in Arizona, but Bali seems really like sexy. It seems awesome. Seems like a great place. And that's not really like my forte. I can remotely do things, but I'm in Fresno, California, which is a great market. And it proved to be an even better market than what I thought it was during this whole COVID stuff, because we stayed occupied. We were still about 97 to 99% occupied during that entire madness, which I just didn't see coming. And so I have all my Airbnbs in Fresno. We are looking to acquire one in Paso Robles as well, which is a great wine country. Would be my first legitimate like vacation rental, because if you don't know anything about Fresno, it's not very vacation-y. People come here because they have to, not because they want to. And so, but because of that, I mean, I know exactly what I'm going to get. I know that if I get a place, I'm probably going to cash flow about $1,000 a month. And if I get a bigger place, I'm probably going to cash flow between $1,500 to $2,000 a month here in Fresno. That's after all of my expenses. And that's what's great is, you know, I know, Matthew, your whole thing is 100 units to financial freedom, to be able to live wherever you want, do whatever you want. We have 12 Airbnbs in our portfolio. That'll probably grow to 15 here in the next, I'd say, 2 months, and maybe by the end of the year, about 20. But at really 8 units, I could start looking at like, hey, what kind of lifestyle do I want right now? Because I'm, like I mentioned earlier, everything about business and about real estate that I love is that it's systematic. Mm-hmm. You can systematize anything in this business. And so it's gotten to the point where I just have amazing people on my team. I have amazing technology. I have amazing teammates that allow me to just say, hey, I'm going to Arizona for a week to go see some friends. You got everything, right? And I'm able to maybe take some emergencies from the phone if need be, but everything is systematized to where I know that if I bring in another Airbnb, another listing, another one that I'm managing, another one that I own, I just can plug it into the system, adjust where we need to, and figure out how to just get more so that we can keep on building this empire that allows me to, you know, really focus on, I think that's the big takeaway from COVID, right? Is like focusing on what's important in life. And it's not always about growing the biggest business or having the most money. It's really about spending the most time with the people that you care about, doing the things, the passion projects that you want to do that are giving back. And honestly, at the end of the day, like being able to give back is what feeds my soul the most.
For sure. And what's your favorite way to give back?
Right now, it's volunteering at our local Fresno Bully Rescue. It's actually pretty famous on Instagram. You guys should go check it out. Fresno Bully Rescue is the name of it. And it's just walking pit bulls around, feeding them, playing with them in the yard. I've got a pit myself. If you take a look at some of our Instagram stuff, we actually saved a pit at one of our flips in November of this last year. And that was what really kind of gave me the bug to be like, all right, this feeds my soul. I really want to go and save more dogs and be the fun part of their day while they're maybe locked up in a shelter and that kind of stuff.
Oh, so nice. Yeah. I'm originally from Denver, Colorado, and I don't know if it's still a city ordinance. Maybe it is. I'm not sure. But we weren't allowed to have a pit bull in Denver County.
Really?
Which is... Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know if it's still an ordinance, but it was like that way for the longest time.
They're a very misunderstood breed.
Yeah. So when you're looking at these Airbnbs, are you traditionally going into condos? Are you going into, what would your typical criteria be?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's important for people to understand there's three different ways that you can get into Airbnb. One is the traditional, you own a place. It can be a room out of your own house. It can be a place that you were going to do as a regular rental and you turn it into an Airbnb. I think it's the best way to be able to do it, especially if your area is the best place to do Airbnb or even just a legitimate way to do Airbnb. That's the best way to go. The second way is a fancy term called rental arbitrage, where basically you just rent it from a landlord and with their permission, you sublet it on Airbnb. And so you're paying the landlord a specific rent every single month. And you just basically keep the spread of whatever the profit is, which is a great way to be able to scale this business. You only have to pay for furnishing instead of paying for, you know, of course, the home itself. But then the best way to completely scale in my mind and what we're really doing is by managing, which basically means that, hey, you know, Matthew, if you've got a place and you come to me and you say, hey, I don't want to make you a tenant. I want you to be a property manager for me and run Airbnb on this. Just like any other property manager, you have all of the financial responsibility, which means that you have to furnish it. And I come in and I use all my systems and I use all my knowledge and I get you the most amount of money for your Airbnb and I take a percentage, basically meaning I get into an Airbnb without having to put any money down. And that's a great way to be able to cash flow. So with all that being said, to answer your question, which was basically what am I looking for an Airbnb?
Yeah. What's your investment criteria?
Yeah. So again, like this, I don't want people to hear this and think like, that's what I need to look for. You need to really look at your area. And you need to be able to evaluate your area. And the best way to do that, by the way, I've got a great tool. It's called the Airbnb Profit Calculator. And it's basically right there on my homepage at fearlesskyle.com. You download it. It shows you how to be able to use it. There's a video in there that shows you how to comp out other Airbnbs in your area to figure out if it's an Airbnb deal or Airbnb dud, basically is the way that you're looking at that calculator. But for me in my area, I know that a 3-2, and especially a 3-2 with maybe a mother-in-law unit or a unit that I can transition into a mother-in-law unit on the property, is going to make me close to $2,500 a month just here in Fresno. And that's cash flow. That's after expenses. And then I know that, you know, a 1-1 apartment, which I've also got in my portfolio that I don't own, that I rental arbitrage, can make me between $500 to $800 a month. And so those are things that you figure out in your own area just by evaluating. But I love, you know, a good 3-bedroom, 2-bath with another unit on the property, because I know that I can turn that into some serious cash.
Mm. And so for people that are listening to this and they're getting kind of jazzed up about this, how would one go about doing an arbitrage?
Yeah, well, first of all, you need to have a plan. You need to really understand your numbers. That's the biggest thing. Is some people come to me and say, it seems like it's a really tough conversation to have with a landlord. And other people come to me and say, no, that seems really easy. And honestly, you're both wrong. So at the end of the day, you just need to have the confidence of numbers. And for me, I'm much more prone as a landlord to take on someone who comes as a personal referral. And so one of the things that I think is just gold when it comes down to this is, if you can network your way to a landlord, you're going to have a much better chance of really being able to get that first property rather than just calling on Craigslist with zero Airbnb experience and saying, hey, by the way, I've never done this before, but I think we could really do a great thing at your place and I would be your best tenant. You know, there's not much of a resume behind that. For me, luckily, I had over 500 reviews before I ever started looking at arbitrage, because I had been doing this house hacking thing in one of my houses. So I knew that I could use that as leverage when I'm talking to a landlord. But for those of you that are listening right now and don't have any property management experience, don't have any Airbnb experience, don't have any, honestly, even any real estate experience, your best thing to do is come up with a game plan, be professional about it, learn your numbers. That Airbnb Profit Calculator can help you do that. Another great resource is AirDNA. These are great things that can teach you that you know exactly what you're going to make and you're going to be able to cover your costs, and you show that to a potential landlord. And now suddenly you've got their trust because they came as a personal referral. You know them personally. Oh, by the way, here's my business plan. Lay it out for them. And those are my two things. Just the big takeaway there, I think, Matthew, is just being able to know your numbers and get a personal referral to a landlord.
Mm, I love it. You know, what I really like about you is, I mean, your name's kind of Fearless Kyle. You know, you're a man of action, right? You're a man of action. How did you go about calling yourself Fearless Kyle?
Well, first of all, thank you. When I get like an idea, I don't like to sit on it, because if I sit on it too long, then I end up talking myself out of it. I'm definitely an overthinker. what I would say is, well, first of all, it was Fearless Flipping in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That was the name of the podcast and YouTube channel. And then I realized, I was like, I'm doing more Airbnb than flipping. Maybe I ought to take a look at changing this up. And so the name of the show now is The Fearless Investor. And we talk 90% about real estate, but we bring in some other professionals and we just talk overall about other investments. And then The Fearless Investor honestly was just taken on Instagram. So I was like, all right, Fearless Kyle sounds good. Just kind of building that brand, right? Yeah, so I wish I had a better answer for you there.
No, it's cool. You know, and also too, it's like, you know, for people that are new and they're trying to like, you know, gain traction, right? I mean, starting a YouTube channel, starting a podcast, starting a blog, you know, especially in this day and age, like that's your resume. You know, it says something if you've been having a podcast or you've been blogging twice a month for 6 or 7 months, right? You're talking about, you know, you've started different business ventures and, you know, after you did one deal, you know, people started taking you more seriously. You know, if you're reaching out to people and you've been doing Airbnb or you have those 500 reviews, like, you're leveraging that, right? And I think what, you know, you're learning and people like are constantly learning in real estate, and what they like about it is leverage. And, you know, you're leveraging your social media, or you're leveraging your podcasts, or you're leveraging whatever you're leveraging, your properties, you're doing that to elevate yourself to the next level. So I really, really love your story. I've taken a lot of value from it today, and I definitely know the audience will as well. So I want to transition
Can I just say something about that too? Because I really think that, you know, if you're getting into real estate, marketing is your number one thing, and you're either going to spend it with time and relationships or with money. And I was in a position where I had some money, but I trusted myself and my ability to be able to learn, to network, to teach others as I was being taught, you know, bring people along my journey and build that rapport and see people. You know, you said a little bit ago, you're looking forward to seeing me in 2 years. Like, when people first saw me launch this, they were like, Kyle's not an expert in real estate. And now I'm getting calls from everyone and their mom being like, hey, how do I do real estate? How do I do Airbnb? And it just came from doing exactly that, you know, documenting everything along the way. And I think a podcast and YouTube channel are the best way to do that. So if you don't have money to market and to be able to, you know, do the direct mail and the bandit signs and all that, then using social media, whether it's a podcast, YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook page, I think is the ultimate free resource that you have to be able to show people your journey and build that trust along the way.
Boom. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. I want to close it out with three closing questions. First question is, what is your favorite book to regift?
I don't read a ton. I listen to a lot of books on tape, but
that counts.
Yeah. There we go. Chop Wood, Carry Water by Joshua Metcalf. Not many people know about it. It's just a good overall life and business book. And it's really just about patience of the process. And you're going to get in that book and you're going to read like three pages and be like, okay, that's all I can handle for tonight. Cause it was so much in just that three pages. So I would definitely say that one.
Okay. Slow and steady wins the race. All right.
Slow burn. Cool. Yeah.
There we go. Cool. All right. Second question is, what is a pain point or a weakness you face right now in your business?
I don't know if I necessarily say it's a weakness or a pain point, but it's a definite need right now. Mm-hmm. Is just continuing to raise money. One of our big transitions that we're doing right now is through a new exit strategy that we really love is subject to and owner finance. And some of these properties need a little bit of rehab along the way, or we find an Airbnb that's going to be great. We want to, you know, basically convert the garage into a unit, you know, so continuing to raise money. It is a little bit of a pain point because I never like asking people for money, but I also know that I can get people a great return on their money. So it is a definite need right now in the business.
For sure. Third question is, if you were to live abroad anywhere for 1 year, where would it be and why?
Yeah, this, even when you asked me this 30 minutes ago, I still am struggling with this one, but I would say just because I went there last year and I know that it's a place that I want to go again is Banff, Canada. If you've ever been there or seen it, it's like every single turn you're looking at a new portrait that you think is fake. Mm. So I really loved being there. I would definitely go there again for a year.
Did you go in ski season? What time of year did you go?
No, it was, I think it was June, and it was beautiful for like 4 of the 5 days, and the last day it snowed. And I was like, wow, I've never even seen snow most of the time in the winter. And here I am seeing it in June.
Did you go to Lake Louise?
Oh yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah. Yeah. I went in winter time and it was freezing. I went there. I went to actually like Lake Louise before I went skiing, and I was there at 6 a.m. and I was the only one on the lake. Like, it was cold where you're like, your tip of your nose is freezing. You're just like shaking, hands and teeth are clamoring. So yeah, no, it's beautiful though.
Oh, I loved it. It was an awesome experience.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, Kyle, what's the best place for people to find you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, either fearlesskyle.com, or you can find me on Instagram at fearlesskyle. And any Airbnb flipping questions, anything like that, I do have a mastermind that's invite only and comes with a course and everything for Airbnb. I'm very, very particular. I was really just talking to a lot of people about that for a while, but I've gotten to the point where I want to see people who are serious and really, really want to change their current circumstances and build an Airbnb business to get to that financial freedom. So you can talk to me about either of those things right there at my Instagram at Fearless Kyle.
For sure, for sure. Well, appreciate it, Kyle. You were a very good guest. I know the audience will take a lot of value, and we'll catch you on next go around, my friend.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys got some tremendous value there from it. But if you guys are looking to take your real estate career to the next level and looking to partner with us on your next real estate deal, please head on over to www.matthewbaltzell.com and sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get our latest deal flows and our up-to-date real estate investing information, tidbits, and tips there for you. All right, guys. Catch you on the next go around. Peace. Are you a busy real estate professional who is looking to build their authority online as a featured podcast guest but lacks the time to do so? Then head on over to elitepodcastbookings.com today to schedule a free consultation with the number one real estate podcast booking service, and you'll receive a limited time offer of 25% off.